Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and make Him known. We now offer two services on Sunday mornings. Our classic service begins at 8:30 a.m. and our modern service is at 10:45. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church to find out more about how we are making disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in this week's message from God's Word.
Continuing our series, Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire, I'm reminded of a story years ago. I was at a pastor's conference with another pastor friend, and after the conference, we decided that we were heading back to the hotel. We were going to look at getting something to eat, and as we're heading back, he got a flat tire, and it started to rain while we had a flat tire on the side of the road. To make things worse, he didn't have the right equipment, the right tools to change the tire. And I thought, man, if you ever wanted to hit somebody in Jesus' name, it was then. And so we're stuck on the side, and it's raining, and I'm getting wet looking at this tire, and a car pulls up behind us. This car pulls up behind us. And this guy gets out, and he looks familiar, but I wasn't sure who it was. I'm like, you look familiar. And he found out we were both pastors going, you know, at this pastor's conference. It ended up being Dabo Sweeney. He changed a tire for us, got it all set up, and said, hey, why don't you come and eat with me at the Bonefish Grill? Because the fish there are real, unlike Lucas's story here this morning. But lying is what I want to talk about here this morning. There's lies in which we're told. There's lies in which we believe. There's big lies. There's small lies. There's white lies. There's lies that manipulate, right? Some lies can protect people at times, or at least we think we are, and we justify that in our minds. Last week, there was someone said, preacher, is there ever a okay time to lie? And I'm like, oh, man, that's a good question. That's a good question. I said, well, in other words, is it morally ever permissible to lie? And the short answer, believe it or not, is yes. Now, some of you liars don't take that and run with it. But like Rahab in the Bible, she was a prostitute in the Bible, and the two spies were there, and she protected the spies by lying. Like, there can be times where maybe for a greater good or to protect from evil things happening. Like, you know, if someone broke into your house, they had a gun to your head and said, where are your children? And you know they're hiding somewhere, and you're not going to say, hey, they're in the closet. You're going to say, oh, they're at a friend's house. You know what I mean? Like, there are certain, you could see certain circumstances for sure, right? I mean, your wife's trying on clothes. Move on. All right, we're going to move on here. But there's different kinds of lies. And the lie that our enemy wants us to believe today is this. He wants us to think that truth doesn't matter. The truth doesn't matter. But the truth is, God expects truthfulness from His children. Because God is truth. And I'll say this, all truth comes from God. It comes from Him. And our enemy hates that. He hates that. He hates everything that represents God, that is truth. He hates it. And we know there is power. There is power in a lie. I mean, lies can destroy friendships, relationships, communities. It can do so much damage. And God knows this. And in Israel, especially when the Hebrew times, There was a lot of close-knit families. And there are close-knit families I know today, but here in America, it is a little bit different than other parts of the world. If you talk to some other folks who are here in our country that either have family or they grew up maybe in another country, Italy, for example, India, even. A lot of times, grandparents always stay as they age with the parents, and you grow up as a grandchild knowing your grandparents very, very well. In Italy, oftentimes they have two or three stories of their homes, and the grandparents live on one of the stories. I think the mother-in-laws go in the basement, though. I'm not really sure, but how they do it over there in Europe. I would never do that to my mother-in-law, though. Just let the record show, especially if she's watching here right now in Florida. But my point is this, is that God knew when it comes to a community, when it comes to a church, when it comes to fellowship, that truthfulness and truth is so important. Sometimes the truth can hurt. And I've noticed this, is that sometimes in certain situations, when the truth is given, sometimes it can really bring out emotions of people. And that's when you know you're really dealing with the truth, oftentimes. But the truth in a society, God knew, was important. That there need to be trust between neighbors. There need to be trust in communities. And it seems in our society today that you just say whatever you need to say. It doesn't matter. The truth doesn't matter. Or that the lie in which you tell, it won't catch up to you. But we know that to be true. We know that some lie so much, they forget what the truth even is. We've seen that before. But truth does matter because it will catch back up to you. See, lies attack the fundamental requirement for any civilization. Trust. For any kind of fellowship in a family, any kind of fellowship in a church, trust is needed. We need to be able to believe the courts cannot be manipulated. And then there's not a foundation, if it is manipulated, there's no foundation for trust in a society. You know, right now, what are we hearing? Now, whether it happened or didn't happen, not to get on political things, but we need to be able to trust that votes are accurate, right? That there was no cheating, there was no lying, there was no this. It's important to us. Whether it happened or not, there's that area of doubt that people end up having. Zechariah says this, Zechariah chapter 8, the Lord told Israel, "But this is what you must do. Tell the truth to each other. Render verdicts in your courts that are just and that lead to peace. Don't scheme against each other. Stop your love of telling lies." Think about that. Some people love to bend the truth. They love to tell lies. They love to, as I don't know if you knew who Cy Robertson is, you know, the Duck Dynasty guy. He said, "Hey, 80% of my stories are true." He has to kind of add that 20% to kind of fluff them up a little bit. Maybe you leave out certain parts of the truth. He's saying, stop your love of telling lies that you swear the truth. Notice what God says about this. "I hate all these things," says the Lord. He's not saying he hates you. He's saying he hates lying because he of the world, I think, is here in Florence. But we like to go through and go, "Oh, I like that truth. I like that truth. Ooh, that one I can't really get with because I wasn't raised that way, or that's not really PC, and I need to stay today." But see, as believers, though, because God is truth, God's word is true, given to us, we should base our faith and practice off. No lie, then there's no sin. And if there's no sin, there is no gospel. It is just a lie, because Jesus made it clear that he was the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was very narrow about something that there is no truth. It's hypocrisy. It folds within itself. And so we know that truth exists. Truth exists. There is truth. Don't believe that truth is just relative, that inside of us to worship something or someone. Sometimes we worship ourselves. Sometimes we worship things. Sometimes we worship, you know, some in a false religion. We will worship something because there's a void in our life that we must worship. And they know the line, and yet they believe there's a higher power. Now one might say, they're just ignorant. They're just ignorant. Why couldn't one of them come up with the idea of, well, maybe there is no God? They don't. There's no atheists in them. They turn into teenagers. See, God's not the author of confusion. And so theory of evolution is taught as a fact. That is a fact due to science, but yet we turn around and we're picked up in our society today. That the Bible oftentimes has been way out ahead of many of the scientific discoveries in which we have found. But postmodern broken into about a million little pieces because it wasn't true. Years later, he was interviewed by USA Today and he said, quote, "I wanted to play with the idea of what was fiction and what was nonfiction. Piece of art, the Mona Lisa had a artist. We know that a watchmaker has a maker. We know these things in our brain, and yet so many will go, I think this is all just change. You see, God's a God of truth. We need to speak the truth. It's rooted in God's own character. The God who created us, who established his covenant with Israel, who redeemed his people through the blood of his son, he is the God of all truth. He himself is truth. All that he does, all that he says, all that he reveals, all the acts he performs are words and deeds and acts of truth. How do we do that? How do we get to that point? How do I grow and become more like Christ? How do I hold on more to the truth? Dig into his word. Is the word of God a part of your life? You know, Old Testament saints did not have a Bible like we have. They didn't. They didn't get up and on your way to work in the morning. Maybe it's 10 minutes to work. Maybe it's 30 minutes to work. I don't know how long it is to work for you. Why not take that time and listen to God's word? I mean, there's so many great Bible apps anymore. You see, in God, there's no lie. There's sayings that rouse him up that we can keep us from experiencing his blessing. He says, there are six things the Lord hates. Now, if God hates certain things, I want to nice. And to cause discord, to stir the pot. You know, if you're always stirring the pot, and there's times to stir certain things, right? When truth is important, but you're just always kind of stirring. God's saying, don't like it. It's not of me. It's not what I'm a part of. And see, we're told we need to be careful about what pops into our head. So, preacher, how do I know if something that pops in my head is of the Lord? There's a couple of different ways that are very simple. One, if an idea pops into your head that you should do, and it goes against the grain of Scripture, it goes against God's word clearly, it is not of God. That's not the Holy Spirit. You have a filter right here to help you filter some of those thoughts. If it's an area in which you don't see in Scripture, what should you do next? Ask a spiritual leader. Could be a connection. Advice. There's a story in Acts chapter 5 about a couple that lied to Peter in the first church. And God, man, he took it serious. Notice in Acts chapter 5, it says, but there was a certain man named Ananias who, with his wife Sapphira, sold some property. Nothing wrong with selling property, right? Nothing wrong with making a profit off your property. He brought part of the money to the apostles. Nothing wrong with that. Claiming it was the full amount. He's lying. There's something wrong with that. If he had just brought and said, hey, this is $50,000 of what from the sale of my property. Here it is. And we probably wouldn't be reading about this story. But he lied about it. And then with his wife's consent, he kept the rest. And then Peter said, Ananias, why have you service? You would never forget. I'm telling you. People dying and lying. They're lying and dying. Woo. You talk about people getting right with Jesus real quick. When it says they had filled his heart, what was going on? Pride. That was the issue. He wanted everybody to see, this is what I'm bringing before the Lord to help God's people. And it was pride that caused him the lie. Man, pride is oftentimes a root of all our sins when you get down to it. It's interesting that Satan fell from heaven because of the sin of pride. And we need to be seeking to whom he may devour. And he wants to devour you. If you know Christ, he wants to take you out. Man, even more you. Even more so. He wants to take you out. You being the leader of your family, leaders in churches, he wants to take you out. You see, as believers, we are called. We are called to be people of the truth. 2 Corinthians tells us this. It says, you may be asked, emergency happened in my life or something came up. I could not go. Apologize. you know, say, sorry, I'm not going to be able to go. And maybe that's what happened here with Paul. And Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't him haul around. I know some of you here this morning, you're people pleasers. And you're like, but preacher, I don't like to say no. I'd rather just say, okay, and go and suffer. Or two, just say yes, and something just magically always comes up. He's saying that's a form of lying. He's saying, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Some young parents are like, yep, I have a baby, though, preacher. I know how to get out of things. I've done that, too. I have three. Now they're getting older. But sometimes it's you got that little one, right? You got that little one. Everyone who has babies here this morning, you're talking about me, preacher. I'm talking about myself, I guess, as well. You have that little one, you're like, well, the time for the baby to go to bed. And that could be the truth. And you're like, man, I'm glad we had this baby, honey. We can get out of this. We're telling the truth, we swear. And it's time for this kid to eat, you know? And that can be the benefit of kids as well. But we are called, though, to be people of the truth. In the court of law, in our casual conversation, in our churches. Listen, God has called us to be Christ-like, to put the bar here, not down here. And when people around you, maybe in your business, maybe in your life, they want to bend the truth, they want to stretch the truth, they want to leave out certain parts of the truth so they can manipulate it, that's not of the Lord. Another part of not telling the truth is exaggerating, but also gossiping. You need to be careful about what we say, especially when it comes to gossip, especially if we don't know whether something is true or not. The church should not be a place where you're looking for the latest gossip. Don't be making phone calls, spreading gossip, or going, oh, I know something is true, so therefore I could tell other people. And that's also gossiping. Well, wait a second, preacher. You're telling me if I know something to be true that's not about me, that's none of my business, and it's not my family, it's not in my house, it's not even something people I really know all that well, that I can't go and call other people about it? Yes. Still gossip. Mildred, the church gossip, the self-appointed monitor of the church morals, kept sticking her nose into other people's business, and several members did not approve of her extracurricular activities, but they feared it enough to remain silent. She made the mistake, however, of one day when she accused George, who was a new believer in the church. She accused George of being an alcoholic because she saw his truck at the only bar in town one afternoon. George looked at her in the eye and didn't say a word and walked off. He walked off, didn't say anything, and later that evening, George quietly parked his pickup in front of Mildred's house and left it there all night long. Gossip will come back to bite you. In some wise advice that has been said, if you propose to speak, always ask yourself this: is it true? Is it necessary? It may be the truth, but is it really necessary? Is it kind? If you do hear something about somebody, maybe call them. Maybe what they really need is a friend. Maybe what they really need is someone to pray for them, to lift them up. And we're called to encourage one another, help one another, be there for one another in a church. That's what a body of believers do. See, gossip can cause division. It can destroy relationships. It's not of the Lord. It's of Satan. And he seeks to bring disunity. His goal is to get Christians always, this is what he's always trying to do, always to get other Christians angry at other Christians. They get one group angry here at another group over here. That's what he loves to do. What should you do when we are tempted to do such a love people, forgive people, go to them, make things right, and move on? Rick Warren said this. He said, when we are talking about a situation with somebody who is neither part of the problem or part of the solution, then we are probably gossiping. First Peter mentions this. This is a verse that, man, it's an uppercut. I'm just warning you. It's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15. It says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, and in the same verse here, or as a busybody in other people's matter. Don't be a busybody. And there's so much at stake when it comes to gossip. We're in the business of dealing with the future of people's eternal destination. That's our purpose. That's our calling. To love God and to love people. To share the message of Jesus Christ. Don't get so focused on everything else on the side. Keep your focus on the prize. Keep your focus on our purpose. There's some wisdom. I have some Bible verses here. That are some wisdom from the book of Proverbs. He who conceals his hatred has lying lips. And whoever spreads slander is a fool. A perverse man stirs up dissension. And a gossip separates close friends. A gossip betrays a confidence. And so avoid a man who talks too much. The preacher, I can't help it. I just say whatever comes to my mind. It comes to my mind, I'm going to say it out of my mouth. Listen, God loves you. I love you. The Word of God all throughout the book of Proverbs talks about this. So I'm not calling you this. The Word of God calls you this. If you have no filter and you just say whatever comes to your mind, the Bible calls you a fool. You're like, oh, preacher, I've said that before. It's not too late. Get it right. How do I get a filter? Getting close to the truth. Filter your thoughts and your words through the Word of God. He'll give you a filter. The Holy Spirit is there to help you. To help you. Maybe your filter is dirty. Maybe it's been 2 years since you changed your AC filter. Maybe you need to change your filter in your brain with the Word of God, and it needs refreshed and it needs renewed. What do you got going? Get that filter. Don't make that excuse. I just say what. No. Don't be a fool. God's not in that. Get a filter. Discipline yourself like a man and woman of God should. Amen? You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. Have a filter. God gave you one. Use it. Put it in there. Get ready. That's what he called us to. You see, the things that we say, they matter. And it's easy. We all at one point in our time have said a word, a careless word that we're like, oh, I wish I had that one back. I wish I could grab that one back. Anyone in your marriages that way before? Oh, yeah. Yeah, or with some friendships, or with a coworker. You're like, oh, I wish I could just grab that word right back. I shouldn't have said what I said. There once was a man who said something about his neighbor that was untrue. Word spread in the village that as one person told another person, but soon the truth came out. What could the man do? He went to see the village priest, and the priest gave him some strange instructions. He said, I want you to take a bag of feathers. I want you to go to the doors of those in which you told, and I want you to lay down a feather of those who end up finding out about your lie, of the word you spoke. And tomorrow, I want you to go, and I want you to pick up those feathers from the doorstep of those where you put it at. The next day, he goes, and that night, a rainstorm had come in and blew all the feathers away. He went back to the priest and said, I can't find any of the feathers in which I put down. He said, just like your careless words, once they leave, you'll never be able to find them. You'll never be able to make things right the way in which they were. Be careful with what you say. Be careful with your words. God expects us as Christians, as people of truth, to tell the truth, to use our words wisely. Are you using them wisely? How you speak to your children, how you speak to your spouse, how you speak about your neighbor, how you speak about maybe even people maybe in church. Are you being careless with your words? God has called you to a higher standard. Here this morning, I want you to know that Jesus forgives, amen? Maybe you have a history of saying things you shouldn't say, and you're like, oh man, this is convicting for me here this morning. In fact, if we were honest, we all have things that we've said, we're like, oh, There's been times we all have lied, like, man, I wish I could go back and change what I said. But God forgives, and He gives us this moment, this day, to repent of our sin, to make things right, to restore that fellowship with our Heavenly Father. If you're here this morning and you're like, man, I'd love to be forgiven of my sins. I've never asked Christ to forgive me in my life. How can one know for sure that they are a Christian? How can they become a Christian? It's by repenting of your sins, believing in Christ and what He did on the cross for you. He died on the cross for your sins, for my sins. And anyone who comes to Him in belief, repents and believes in the name of Jesus Christ, He will save and He will change and He will rescue. And that can be you here this morning. We'd love for you to come to know Christ. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer and at this time. Father, I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful that you have called us to be people of truth. And Lord, in this day and age where there's so much false information, where there's so much false news, well, there's so much that we have to kind of decipher through, and sometimes we wonder what is the truth and what is a lie. We have your word to lead us. We have your Holy Spirit to guide us. And God, here this morning, may we be convicted in our lives if we're sharing gossip, if we're bending the truth to make ourselves look good, if we're manipulating the truth that's around that we have just to make things happen in the way in which we want to happen. Father, we love you, and we're thankful that you are a forgiving and loving God. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. And everyone said here this morning, amen. God bless you all. Hope you have a great week.